Blog
Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we're here with a little bit of an upbeat run. What the heck happened to the bumper music there? It started something and then just changed and then it flipped over. Got to talk to those producers.
Yeah. Hey, come on, producers. Get with it here. Oh, that's us, huh? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, okay.
I think I set up this show to actually start with music already, you know, pre-selected.
Yeah.
And forgot that I had done that.
Oh. And so there I was.
And there it was. And
then, yeah, you know,
I play music, it kind of cut off. Oh, well. We're going to do a little bit something different with music tonight.
Cool.
I'm gonna put something up in the middle of the show. We're going to have a little musical interlude.
Oh, cool.
Because I simply like the piece of music, and, you know, I want to put it up there, and if I get in trouble, I get in trouble, and, you know.
Oh, well.
So what?
Yeah, that's right. What are they going to do, take away your birthday?
No, they can take away the show.
Oh, well. Well, we'll just go under different names and do it all over again.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because there's only the three of us listening. I mean,
exactly.
Everybody has to. They're like, all right, everybody move over here.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So, I was informed this week.
Yes.
That I spend too much time talking about personal stuff and not enough time talking about politics.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, it was really weather here this week. I was feeling a lot better. The car's working not so good. And I was, never mind. I thought it was kind of interesting. I understood. You know, I'm a really bad sick person.
Yeah,
I got no tolerance when everybody else is sick, but when I'm sick, it's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
We had some snow here last week.
Yeah?
18 inches. Plowed down upon us. And I use the word plowed because the mayor of the city decided that they were going to test a new way of plowing. In an 18-inch storm, they decided what they were going to do was they were going to plow with the blades on the snow plows.
Yeah.
3 inches off the ground.
Oh, so just basically leave 3 inches of snow there.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Of course, when you throw lots of traffic on the 3 inches of packed snow, add a little bit of sunlight to it, and what you end up with is?
Slush.
Oh, no, not when it's 5 above zero.
Oh, great ice skating.
Yeah.
Oh,
whole
cool.
City.
Yeah,
whole
yeah.
County. Whole county. 72 counties in Wisconsin, and only one county had snow on pavement 24 hours after the snow. This one, the state capital. It was nightmarish.
I'm sorry.
12 minute drives were taking an hour. You know, 20 minute drives were taking, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
People were screaming bloody murder, and then they found out that it was intentional.
They did
it on purpose.
Huh.
And it wasn't just like, you know, they decided to do it on the residential streets.
Yeah.
They did it on the arteries, and then
plowed
the residential streets.
Oh, really? Oh, so that you can get onto those icy arteries quicker.
Because the fire department said that plowing the street, the residential streets, would allow emergency vehicles to get into those areas quicker. Of course, they couldn't get to the residential streets because the arterials you know, were a frickin' ice rink, and traffic was blocked up, you know, for miles in every direction. You know, so it was just like, it's absolute insanity what they have done. You know, it is absolutely pothole politics.
You know, if I were a cynical SOB, I'd say to the attorneys, was anybody injured in all of that? And that was a deliberate policy? Gosh, you guys have got a great lawsuit there.
You know, there were hundreds and hundreds of accidents.
Oh, I'm sure there were.
You know, because while Wisconsin is a pretty flat place, there are places where we have hills, and the state capitol sits up on a hill here in Madison.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get up, not even four-wheel drive vehicles could get up the hill.
Does that mean that the legislature wasn't in session? Count your blessings.
it was just insanity, and it took until Sunday. We got a little bit warm over the weekend. We got up into the upper 20s, and they were able to get some, you know, serious plowing and be able to get the stuff off. So by Sunday evening, 5 days, we finally had clear streets.
Mm.
You know, and of course in Chicago, Mayor Michael Blandick lost his job for doing something stupid like that.
Mm-hmm.
Jane Byrne became mayor because Blandick screwed up, you know, streets in a bad snowstorm and left ice on the streets for weeks. Of course, the city was just nuts. So, you know, the mayor has pseudo-apologized for this thing, but it was clear. They were told they were not to plow the snow off the streets.
Really?
The reason why,
yeah,
they didn't want to use any salt.
Hmm.
18 inches of snow, they didn't want to use salt.
Hmm.
Plain, utter idiots.
Having never lived in the upper Midwest, and so therefore not experiencing that kind of weather, I'm certainly prepared to take your word for it. I'm just glad that they don't put salt on our roads.
Why would they put salt on your roads?
Oh, we get icy spots. Black ice.
Okay, so why don't you like salt?
You ever looked at a rig that comes out with salt spray all underneath it?
Yeah.
It rusts right through the floorboards.
No, not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore. You know, around here, you know, they got so much undercarriage stuff now that rust because of salt is a considerably less big a problem than it was 30 years ago.
I see. Okay.
I won't suggest to you that rust doesn't or salt doesn't have its impact on things around here.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing like it used to be.
I see.
It's one of those situations where this is one of the progressive, you know, environmentalist anti-car, you know, groups have just, you know, pushed the issue to the point. When we lived in Montana, Montana doesn't use salt either. They use cinders.
Yeah, that's what we use. Well, kind of. I mean, it's a kind of a red lava rock.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's cinder. That's
yep.
Coal cinder and, you know, in Montana, the glass repair people love that stuff because that stuff gets kicked up, and it's hard enough to, you know, break windows. You know, so, you know, people used to, when we were in Montana for one winter, people screamed about the fact that they were using cinders, and it just absolutely devastates windshields.
You guys don't have chip-sealed roads and stuff like that back there, do you?
No.
Yeah. We get that a lot out here in the West, or at least in upper northern California. And there are always windshield claims after they've done that, and Caltrans always pays off on them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah. No. Here, you know, in Montana, you don't fix your windshield until the end of the winter.
Yeah, very good.
There's just no sense in replacing it.
Yeah, right.
The odds of getting another chip, you know, over the course of the winter is very, very high.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and of course, this was not. This was a pretty close to being a record-breaking snowstorm here.
Yeah.
18 inches in one full swelp was a pretty hefty dump.
Al Gore must have flown over or something.
Weren't we supposed to have an El Nino going on this year?
Yeah, I'm.
It's supposed to be a mild winter, right? I don't know what's going on here.
Well, I don't know that El Ninos are supposed to dump a whole lot of rain on us, and yes, it's raining right now, but we're still only about even with last year, which was about a quarter of normal. So we'll see.
Well,
yeah.
We went into the cellar as far as temperature was concerned here after the storm, which is perfectly normal here. It felt very much like mid-January here last week.
Uh-huh.
You know,
okay.
Heavy snows and then deep freeze.
Mm-hmm.
We're going
mm-hmm.
to the deep freeze today. You know, we're only in the single digits today. It was well below zero on the wind chills. We're going to be in the negative numbers tonight, and then it's going to start doing a slow warm-up through the weekend. The reason I brought it up, besides the pothole politics and the fact that the mayor here is in deep doo-doo for this stupidity, is that I did want to talk about global climate change. Did you see the long Antarctic ice core that's been published, the analysis of a long core from the Antarctic ice?
I have not seen that.
It absolutely shows the hockey stick.
Really?
Absolutely shows the hockey stick.
Cool.
But it also shows the Little Ice Age and the medieval global, you know, warming period.
Oh, yeah.
And it shows the hockey stick to be this, you know, basically a bent tip toothpick. To the medieval warming period, which, by the way, is a minor warming blip in comparison to a warming period before the last mini ice age about 15,000 years ago. And then about 70,000 years ago, the bottom falls out.
Oh, Lord.
You know, and, you know, we're talking about 15 degrees colder.
Ow.
A huge drop. Huge.
Oh, yeah.
Astronomical drop. And it actually shows, you know, over the last, you know, quarter of a millennium, you know, four huge nightmarish spikes, ups and downs, temperature-wise, that makes the current period look practically, you know,
flatlined.
Tahiti-like.
You know, yeah, really.
And I'm just sitting there like going like, you know, we have all these spikes up and down, and then all of a sudden it gets warm, and it stays here for about, you know, 65,000 years. You know,
mm-hmm.
And we're at the end of that 65,000 years of warm period.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, oh man, if the bottom falls out, you know, humanity takes a shit.
Oh, big time. Cold will kill you.
Absolutely.
Cold will. Yeah,
cold
absolutely.
Kill. I don't understand this idea. We've got to stop the global warming. No. No. You and I have talked about this. Victoria
yeah,
and I
we have
talked about this.
Yep.
What happens if the civilization goes to hell in a handbasket? She wants to go north. And I'm like,
what?
You know, and a couple of the people I talked about recently said, yeah, I go north. And I'm like, look, you need energy to get food. You need
mm-hmm.
energy to get warm.
Yep.
You need energy to get energy.
Mm-hmm.
All
of those things.
All those things take a lot of work and effort, just to barely survive.
Head for the equator, folks.
Head for the equator.
Yeah, really. Jeez.
I'd rather spend my days, worrying about, trying to keep the flies and the ants out of my food,
yep,
than to worry about the fact that, I don't have enough fire to take the icicle that was that piece of meat that I caught last
yep
week.
Yes.
And get it to the point where I can actually gnaw on it for a while.
Incidentally, just kind of in that vein, did you see that report? I think it was it occurred last week, and remember that Australia is down under for us, so their seasons are reversed, so they're in kind of the start of their summer, and they had some snowfall.
No, I hadn't
seen it. Yeah. It was like, oops, okay.
I really don't like the idea that, with this solar minimum going on and it continuing to persist, that we are shoving our butts into, a repeat of the Little Ice Age. God, I'm not looking forward to that at all.
Me either. I've got a short enough growing season where I'm at anyway, and I'm only at 2,300 feet up here in Northern California. It starts getting cold enough, and your crops aren't going to ripen. Your food crops.
So plants like it with higher CO2s and like it warmer.
Yes, they do.
Humans, as far as I'm concerned, like it warmer.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that's there. Let's speak about Al Gore. I did something kind of crazy this evening.
Uh-oh.
There are three computers in my day-to-day life that I use depending on where I am, what I'm doing. I have my production computer, which sits in front of me. It's right in front of me right now. It's here in the office. I've got a large monitor, extra wide monitor. This is where I do website work. This is where I do my petition work. This is where I do my writing. This is my main production computer. It's got everything on it.
Cool. Okay.
And I have a computer that's upstairs with the family. It's actually Victoria's computer. And for the most part, all I do is, read up there.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing production-wise. I do my
right
invoicing up there for my business. But for the most part, it's there. And then I got my office computer. Now, certain things I have on all three computers. My petition preparation software, my email, my Twitter, my RSS reader are actually on all of the computers. So no matter where I am, I can keep up on some of that stuff. Well, I don't usually use the RSS reader down here in the production office because I'm more often not working, not, just sitting and reading. Well, I logged on to my RSS reader tonight, and Little Green Football is still on this one.
Oh, boy.
It's been about 5 or 6 weeks since I was there. And, boy, when you... You don't eat a whole lot of fast food, I'm assuming.
No, not really.
There was a time when I ate McDonald's and Burger King almost virtually every day.
Okay.
And then for whatever reason, I don't know what it was, I was working at the health club, and they wanted me on a diet, and I was going to do workout, exercising, and dieting. So I stopped all the fast food for about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had some McDonald's. Okay, if you ever do something like that, you know how when you have some garlic, you can smell the garlic the next day on your skin?
Mm-hmm.
You can do the same thing with McDonald's food.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool, okay.
Okay. And that's kind of wherever I was going to go with that.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Never mind.
Never mind.
It was It was an interesting thought. Just gone out of my head.
There you go.
Oh, Little Green Footballs.
Yes, Little Green Footballs.
I had suggested to you that it was getting harder and harder to read that, and that's why I stopped reading it. Well,
mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, after being gone from there for 4 weeks and then getting all of a sudden dumped back into there,
yeah,
holy moly, man, is that a vile little cesspit.
Is he still, is Charles still off his rocker there?
Oh, it's just not polite.
No, man.
Just not polite.
Yeah, well.
There was, what was it? Oh, I already deleted it. I can't do it. I deleted it. It was on Palin, and it was absolutely vicious. Just absolutely vicious. So, you know, boiling a frog in water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stay in it. Stay in the cesspit, and you don't notice how bad the smell is.
Yeah.
Get out of the cesspit, come back. You know, it's overwhelming. You know, and that's, you know, it's, I guess it's kind of the idea of dealing with the global warmists, warning
mm-hmm.
it, dealing with liberals, you know, I deal with them all the time, so it's not like a big deal. I got into a big debate with somebody, I don't know, a couple of days ago. And, you know, some people were saying, like, how can you be so polite? And it's like, you know, I understand that they're a particular side, so it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, I'm certain that if I had actually not done this for a while, just stayed away from the liberals and
mm-hmm.
stayed away from the left,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, that I would come back and go, man, these people are nuts.
Yeah, I quit reading Charles about a year and a half ago. He and I had an exchange of viewpoints, and he was not willing to admit that there was any validity to any other opinion other than his own. And I just said, okay, thank you very much. I'm gone. I'm out of here.
Well, I'm willing to admit that liberals have a point.
Well, sure.
In most of their arguments, I'm willing to concede that they have a point. It's at the top of their head, but that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to argue. I'm willing to debate the issue, but. You know, I'm not willing to dismiss out of hand their point of view. You know, I don't
mm-hmm.
have to agree with it.
Right.
And after a nice debate, I can simply walk away from it without worrying about it.
Right.
But I don't need to dismiss it. It's not necessary. You know, I'll debate it, but anyways.
Yeah.
Al Gore, and the reason I bring this up in other contexts with the health thing was Al Gore said something over the last day or so. And then he quoted a research scientist, and the research scientist said, I said no such thing.
Yeah.
Well, the article that popped up in Little Green Footballs tonight was Johnson saying that, in fact, the scientist did say what Al Gore said he said.
Oh, good grief.
You know, and quoting the scientist from, like, 3 years ago saying something along the lines of what Al Gore said. And I'm thinking, you know, a scientist says something, and then Al Gore quotes him, and then the scientist says, that's not what I said, and then Johnson goes, yeah, it is. I'm inclined to believe the scientist saying it, but...
Mm-hmm.
Because he's certainly not a global denier. He was, you know, he's somebody that's actually... a pretty strong proponent of global warming, so
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to throw him
mm-hmm.
under the bus because he threw Gore under the bus.
Yeah.
It's nice little theater. It is clear that if anybody wants to pay any attention to global climate change, that at this particular point in time, there's no real way to know what is going on other than the climate is changing. And you and I and everybody else agrees that the climate is changing.
Oh, sure.
All the time.
It
you know,
has, from whenever we coalesced from a gassy, rocky, asteroidal cloud into a planet.
We've had multiple ice ages.
Yep.
We've had multiple extreme warming periods.
Yep.
We're going to continue to have those.
Yeah.
But humanity is the most adaptable animal on the planet. You know, we'll deal with it.
Yes,
you know,
we will.
There are times, and part of the debate that was the other night was the idea. I mentioned the idea that there is intelligent life out there in space.
Well, the odds are good, but yeah. We don't know it yet, but yeah.
Given the fact that there are billions and billions of planets just like ours out there in the universe.
Yep.
The odds are that there's intelligent life is like approaching certainty.
Yep.
But the person said, we haven't found any. To suggest that that means it doesn't exist because we haven't found any. And I'm like, okay. That's pretty arrogant to believe that in all of the universe, this planet is the only one with intelligent life. Well, God
yeah.
said so.
Yeah, I see. Okay. I have news for that person. I have a sock that I can't find. I know it exists. I just can't find it.
But, you know, I consider that point to be arrogant. But at the same token, you know, the liberals, global warming people are the same arrogance. We don't like the weather of the planet, so we're going to change it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, come on. You know, you don't like the fact that we're destroying the Earth, so what you're going to do is change the entire planet's climate?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And how many unintended consequences are there going to be attendant on upon that?
You know, right. The idea that, you know, that we can understand what we're doing at this point. I said, look, you know, humanity has got all the intelligence and maturity of a six-year-old at this point.
Yeah, very good. Nice analogy.
You know, it would be helpful if we acknowledge that particular point and try not to act like a six-year-old in a temper tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
I want to change.
Yeah. Can I have that popsicle, mommy? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
On Sunday night, Victoria said, find it. Somewhere on TV, Oprah and Obama are supposed to be talking.
Yeah.
So I looked through the TV guide, and I'm looking for Obama's name or Oprah's name, and I don't see anything. You know, and then finally, I'm sitting, she goes, I guess it's not on, and we're sitting there, I'm just watching Twitter, and then they started talking about Obama and Oprah. I'm like, there's got to be something on there talking about it.
Right.
So we finally found it.
Christmas okay.
The White,
White
House
Christmas special or something.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have?
Okay. So Victoria starts watching it, and I'm like, oh, please don't. You know, so I had to suffer through it, unless I wanted to come downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I suffered through it. And, of course, I heard Obama giving himself a B+. And all I could think about was, okay, that B+ is almost exactly the same as the Nobel Peace Prize. We're just kind of hoping that he gets to a B+.
Boy, he's going
to
want
not for
way
what
to
he's
go.
Done, but for what's going to happen in the future. He hopes to get up to a B+.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get health care reform passed, and if we get cap and trade done, and if the surge works, and if we come out of the recession and 18 million new jobs get formed, then I'm worthy of a B+.
Yeah.
Right now, you're worthy of, you know, a fail grade. I'm not even willing to give him, you know, this is pass fail at this point. I'm not even willing to give him a letter grade at this point.
Okay.
So just, you know, pass fail. And right now it's fail.
Yeah, actually, I was thinking more along the lines of an incomplete withdrawal, but oh well.
Incomplete. You're hoping for a withdrawal.
Yeah, well, that's true. There may have been a little Freudian thing in there.
Well, the other thing that I said was, you know, the Bears and the Packers played, you know, for the third time this season over on Sunday, and the Bears played really well. You know, I would suggest maybe they played to the point where you could give them the grade of B+. However, they lost.
I see. Actually, that was kind of a really wonderful Twitter game there for a while. Some folks are really creative with that.
Fail, okay? You lose. It's a fail. It's a failing grade. I don't care how good of an effort it is. You know, something that we tried to reinforce with CJ. You know, in her particular case, I tell her, if you have done everything in your power to make sure that your homework is done, you've taken the test, you've studied, you've done everything you can, and you get a C in the class, I will accept that.
Sure.
But you have to tell me you've done everything in your power to try and get a better grade. And if you can tell me that and you get a C, that's fine. I don't believe that that will be the fact. If, in fact, you put yourself to that in mind, that you'll do better. And then I started thinking, how does that apply to Obama? Is he just not applying himself? Now, you and I will acknowledge the fact that he can't, just because he's the President of the United States, I think it's something that they actually don't understand. Just because he's the President of the United States doesn't mean he gets to do whatever he damn well wants.
That's true. In fact, there are a lot of strictures on the office of the presidency in our setup.
Right.
I mean, it is a
perfect.
Fairly weak
Make
position.
Sure that somebody doesn't come in and just go run shop over things.
Yeah.
So I got the idea that, you know, I think the left has forgotten that idea. You know, if you're president, you can do anything.
Ah.
You can go to a Broadway show on Air Force One.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You can shut down the market, you know, on the north side of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't just make everybody pay more in taxes. Yeah, there's a limit to what you can do.
Yeah, there is.
Anyway, B+.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, for me, it called into question his communication skills. Any thinking person would have said, you know, it's up to the people to grade me. It's not my place to give myself a grade. I'm less than a year into my presidency. There's no grade that's applicable at this point. Sidesteps the issue neatly, acknowledges that it is the people that will judge him, and they go on to the next topic.
Yeah, no.
He couldn't do that, could he?
he's very typical of the liberal educational mindset in that, see, I color between the lines. Don't I get a star and a hat?
Yeah, really.
Hat on the back and a
ribbon. And a ribbon and stuff? Yeah,
and a ribbon and stuff. Isn't that really good?
Yeah, yeah.
No, you moron. Oh.
Oh, man.
No.
There's
something in Palin's book on that, where she had recounted a particular point where she had done something, and everybody was looking at her like, why are you sitting there and cheering? You've just done what you're supposed to do.
Ah, mm-hmm.
You know, this was something, you know, when she was in, like, high school or something like that, a lesson she learned, you know, don't expect big, you know, cheering sections and pats on the back for doing what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Obama did with his B+.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ain't I doing wonderful things? Cheer, pat me on the back, because I'm doing so wonderful things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I have heard a number of people that claim to have psychiatric expertise that describe him as a malignant narcissist.
Yeah. I don't know about malignant. Narcissist is clear. You know, metrosexual is clear.
That's true.
You know,
I have no expertise in the area, so I'm not qualified to say yay or nay. I'm just saying there are some people that claim to have that expertise that say, you know, you go through the diagnostic order and he's right there.
Yeah, but I would be willing to bet that most politicians would probably fall into that category too.
You've got to have an ego to run for a political office. You have to.
Yeah. You
cannot be a milquetoast. You cannot be self-effacing. You cannot
think,
I don't have something to contribute.
You know, but at the same token, do we have, you know, the idea, because, you know, Reagan was self-effacing, Bush was self-effacing, you know, but it was not the, and Obama's not self-effacing by any stretch of the imagination.
No, he isn't.
You know,
absolutely.
There's nothing humble about that man at all.
No, there isn't.
You know, so I think you can have, you know, a type A personality and a strong ego-driven personality and still, you know, maintain a certain, I don't want to use the word humble, because, you know, that denotes a whole category of stupidity that I disagree with in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a self-confident awareness of their own limitations.
Yes.
You know,
I'm not sure Obama has that.
I don't think he has any clue what his limitations are, because, frankly, the bar is pretty damn low.
Well, and I don't think that he's ever really been tested.
I don't think he's ever been held accountable.
That's also true. But I don't think he's ever been tested. I don't think he's ever been in... I don't think he's ever been in a do-or-die situation, whether that be political or whether that be, you know, whatever. I'm just saying he's never been tested to find out what his limits are.
I agree. And, boy, is holding the office of president a really bad time for that.
It is a really bad time to learn exactly where those limits are. Yeah, I agree.
I just don't think that it's... Now is not time and place to find out that you have... You know, because I think the president needs to be at a point where... It goes back to this idea when we were an air traffic controller... when you have two planes going towards each other, any decision is better than no decision.
Yes.
And you simply have to, you know, they kind of drum beat it into you. You will make the correct decision every time. You are perfect. Whatever you decide is exactly the right course. Put that in your head over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And, you know, through training, they make you do, you know, 10, 15, 20 decisions every hour, you know, hour in and hour out, you know, and constantly reinforce the idea, you know, that the first thing that comes out of your mouth is going to be, you know, the right decision. Because what they want is that under, you know, in a critical time, they don't want you to stop, hesitate, and question whether you're going to make the right decision or not.
Right, right.
You know, you got planes that are approaching each other at 800 miles an hour. You know, you have seconds to make a decision, formulate the plan, get that information to the pilot, and let the pilot make that change. You know, all of that takes time. And the longer you waste time thinking about it, you know, the worse the situation becomes.
Absolutely.
I don't want a president faced with a nightmare to stop
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, there are places and times when I think the president should stop, think about what needs to be done, get some input, and then do, because, you know, nothing is, there are few things in life that require that kind of instantaneous response at that level.
Right.
But when it's required, I don't want a president that is second-guessing himself.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I believe that's what Obama's going to do if, in fact, he gets tested. I think he'll do something, but, you know, and then everyone will second-guess the thing. And then at that point, I think he will begin to second-guess himself.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
And then, you know, then he just locks up like, you know, a bicycle chain gone off its wheel.
You know, that's an interesting chain of thought there. People that have an end result in mind will make decisions based on, does this get me closer or further away?
Sure.
People that do not have an end result in time, that are simply reacting to outside stimuli, tend to want to think it over before they make a decision.
Well, you know, I call it goal orientation. I mean, you know, if you have
right.
a goal in mind, you're going to be able to make decisions based on that goal. And
yes.
I think Obama has a goal in mind for what he wants this country to do. The problem with that goal is that it is shared by maybe 15% of the population.
Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't really articulated, I think, the goal that he is, in fact, working towards.
Right.
I think if he did, we would have, you know, we wouldn't have 44% approval rating for him. We would have 14% approval rating for him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So he can't necessarily, and that, of course, that's the argument that's been used against the left for a long time. They can't actually articulate what their goal is because, well, we wouldn't want their goals.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he has a goal in mind. I just want him to understand that goal is unattainable. And right now, you know, Pelosi and Reid are literally, you know, cutting themselves, you know, deaths of a thousand cuts because they are unwilling to decide that goal is unattainable. Which brings us to this idea of healthcare reform as, you know, is it at this point unattainable? Is the Senate likely to push something out? Or is the goal right now, is the goal of healthcare reform unattainable at this point? I think it is. I think in order for the Senate to pass anything, they have to compromise, and that simple act of compromise is going to, you know, create a whack-a-mole situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for every senator they get on board, they're going to lose two more because they don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can we get something out of the Senate? You know, three times over the last couple of days, you know, it seemed like they were going to get something out of the Senate, and, you know, and every time it looked like they were going to get something, you know, things fell apart. I mean, you know, they're arguing right now that Nelson, you know, is the swing vote. They got to get Nelson on board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but how many senators have we heard say, no public option, no vote?
Right. Oh, yeah. There's a ton of them.
So, you know, right now we've got no public option, no individual mandate, and no increase to Medicare. You know, I don't know how that gets through the Senate when, you know, that pretty much guts the whole purpose of having it in there, of doing it in the first place. So
Politically, though, I think that that's doable if Nancy, Harry, and Barack sit down with those senators and said, oh, no, I can't vote for this if it doesn't have a public option, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and say, look, if we can get this through, we can get that other stuff added later because it's a smaller step. That's the fear that I have, that they will actually become pragmatic and say, you know what? We gave it a really great shot to get the whole ball of wax here. We aren't going to get it all, but we're going to get enough of it that we can add what we want later.
Here's where I think that particular... I would agree. I would agree that that is a possibility. But here's what I think is happening. I think the people that would be pragmatic about it
mm-hmm.
are realizing that in about a year...
Yeah.
the Democrats are not going to have control of the Senate or the House like
yep.
they do now, and trying to get something added in later isn't going to happen.
Exactly.
And so exactly. I don't think that that's possible. Luis Amar, I don't know. You know, he's a narcissist, yes. You know, he wants what is not American, I agree. However, you know, I am still unwilling, I know this drives some people crazy, I am still unwilling to flat out believe that the majority of the people on the left, and that includes Reid, Pelosi, and Obama, are acting in a way that they know is detrimental to the United States. I still think they think they're doing the right thing. You know, from our perspective, from our point of view, bullshit. And it's not the right thing. It's absolutely no right thing. But I actually think that they think they are doing what they think is the right thing.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. But
so,
crazy
you know,
people think that they're doing the right thing even when it's crazy, Tracy.
So I'm willing to give them the idea that it's not that they're being anti-American. They're just not being very smart.
I think maybe that the judgment is going to have to wait on that. I will agree that they aren't being very smart. I will agree that they fervently believe that they are doing the right thing for America. But that doesn't make them correct.
Right. Given the amount of political brain matter that's involved in Washington, you know, you would think that there would be somebody standing up going, you know, we're killing ourselves here. What are we doing?
I am considering that there has been a paradigm shift. And that what has passed for political wisdom in the past and has worked. The whole Clinton triangulation thing, the whole go along to get along thing, I think that has become a dinosaur.
I agree, and I think it's because the left just went berserk with Bush.
And then when they got total and complete control, they went berserk some more.
Right. So they're already, you know, we used this analogy, I used this analogy, you know, a couple of weeks ago. You know, the car has left the road off the cliff,
yeah.
and they're stepping on the gas pedal.
Yes, indeed.
We're got it really going now!
Yes, we do.
You know, I don't understand it. I, as much as I admit to the fact that I believe that that's what they're doing, I think about things and go, okay, look, I'm not the smartest bulb on the planet. I'm in the top 2%. Understand that that's my particular point of view. I'm in the top 2%. I'm not the smartest bulb on the planet. And can I believe that, in fact, in the entire Democratic Party establishment in Congress, that I'm, in fact, smarter than all of them?
Because they haven't recognized that there are paradigm, that there's been a paradigm shift, yes, absolutely.
God, isn't that frightening?
Oh, yeah. Actually, no. I think that that's very encouraging. I would rather have the dinosaurs die off really quickly than to go through some prolonged block by block urban warfare scenario.
Well, then what we want is Obama to do his damnedest.
Oh yeah, I think he is.
You know, because we want this to be not just a fail, not just an epic fail, but a fail of such monumental proportions that nobody in their right mind for a generation is going to say, oh, I think liberalism needs to be retried.
Yep, absolutely. That's absolutely right. I want that to fail so hard that the reverberations will continue through the next complete ice age global warming cycle.
That's kind of what I hoped would happen.
Yeah, right. I mean, look at the extraordinary length they have gone to and still don't have 60 votes. You got Senator Landrieu out of Louisiana, $300 million for her state. Apparently, the senator out
Nelson
of
Nelson is being both blackmailed and
Nelson.
Extorted.
Yeah, and I'm heard the rumor today on Twitter that he was offered $500 million in pork any way he wanted to spend it, anywhere he wanted to spend it.
Yes. Here, let me bribe you with $500 million worth of spending, or else
we're going to close down Offutt Air Force Base. By the way, folks, Offutt Air Force Base is the strategic defense Air Force Base.
Been there, stayed
yep.
there one weekend.
Yep. So not only are they willing to bribe, they are willing to threaten the national security of the United States.
Now, that
makes a lot of sense.
Do you know that that when I was going changing duty stations and I was traveling cross country, I pulled into Offutt and said, you know, I want to, you know, crash here for two nights, you know, on my way out to the West Coast. And they said, unless you have orders to the base, you can't just do that.
Yeah, oops.
but they said, go over here and wait. It took them 3 hours to verify my security rating, and then I could do it.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it, because of where I was going and what I was going to be doing, I actually had a high enough security rating to actually do the visiting quarters on base.
Yep.
So
actually, I hope the 3 hours didn't inconvenience you, but I am sure glad to hear that they were doing that.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't have any problem with it, you know, and I had to show my ID, my driver's license.
The whole thing, military ID,
whole nine
all
yards.
That.
Just having my military ID was not enough.
Yeah.
You know, getting on the base. So I had to produce my orders.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. I didn't have any problem with it. And of course, there was a whole lot of the base that was, you know, highly restricted that I couldn't go anywhere near.
Yep.
And I was strongly suggested that I don't go anywhere near.
Yep.
And it was like, yeah, not a problem.
You bet you. I'm just looking to crash here for a little bit.
Show me BAQ and show me, you know, the mess hall, and I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm great. Maybe the beer garden, but that's, you know, that's it.
I do want to hit one more thing. We only got about, you know, 5 minutes left. Gitmo is coming to Illinois.
Yes, it is. Hey, happy Christmas. Merry Christmas there, Southern Illinois, or wherever that's going.
It's actually pretty close to me. It's in the north west corner of the state.
Ouch. I'm sorry.
No, you know, and my suggestion is this. I think we should absolutely bring the Gitmo detainees to Illinois.
Yeah.
And next November, we should convert that federal prison into a minimum security prison.
Ooh.
Do you know why?
Next November? Nah, a little earlier than that, I think, maybe.
No, deer hunting season starts in November.
Oh, does it really? Oh, cool.
Yeah. Lots of people with guns walking around in the woods.
Yeah, there you go.
Just suggesting.
Yeah,
you know,
no, no. I, you know, just observing.
Walk.
Just observing.
You know,
yeah.
You know, if they want to take a walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I like that idea. That's a good
nice
one.
Nice 12-day period in there.
Oh, 12 days? Plenty of time.
12 days, plenty of time. You know,
yeah, yeah.
And actually, most of October is bow hunting. So it's a lot quieter.
Yes, it is. You can bag more than one at a time that way. I mean, well, no, not more than one at a time, but you can bag one and nobody else knows it, and so you go on to the next one.
Yeah.
I just a tip, you know, hunting tip.
It's just a hunting tip.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I like the idea that they're going to be, you know, I've said it quite a bit. You know, please put the Gitmo detainees in Leavenworth. Put the Gitmo detainees in Leavenworth. They can't even put what's his name Reed that's in the California Supermax in the general population.
Oh no, sure can't.
You know, so yep. I'm all for bringing the Gitmo detainees. If they're going to do it, I'd rather them put them into a Supermax and let them go into general
population. Yep, that'll take care of that really quick. I agree. You betcha. We'll save a whole lot of time if we do it that way.
Right. A whole lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Well, to say nothing of probably an aborted trial, given the comments that have been made already by none other than POTUS.
Yeah. Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I forgot to do?
What did you forgot to do? Oh, you forgot to do that music thing.
Musical interlude.
Yeah, you did.
Well, here's what we do. Do your shutout. We've got about 2 minutes, and we're going to finish up with our musical interlude.
Okay. Just me, Pammy. I don't know that Arkansas Traveler is listening, but Memoradi, who hopefully was able to catch the show, and Jesse Bradshaw, thanks for listening.
You know, and Louisa Ma.
And Louisa Ma, yep.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Now, for all you people that know that I'm agnostic, got about a minute and a half left. Enjoy it. The piece is actually about 4 minutes long, so you won't be able to hear all of it unless you go into the podcast. But otherwise, enjoy. Bill, we'll talk next week.
Yes, we will.
It's such a nice piece of music.
Oh, that's a beautiful piece of music. I just, God.
You know, somebody asked me the other night, do you celebrate Christmas? And I'm like, duh.
Yeah. Really?
Okay. You know, maybe they just don't understand. I mean, how can an agnostic, why would an agnostic celebrate Christmas? And, of course, you know, the first thing I said, well, let me see, Victoria and CJ are Christians. So that's first.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I was born and raised, you know, Roman Catholic.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's kind of there. And then there was a period of time in my life when, you know, I was a born-again Christian. So, you know, I can celebrate the reason for the season.
Sure.
Without, you know, without having to go anywhere else as far as the faith is concerned.
Well, exactly.
Besides, I like getting gifts.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's kind of fun, you know, under the gaily wrapped presents under a tree, and you get to open them up in the morning.
Right, so.
Yeah.
CJ has joined us down here this evening.
Oh, cool. How you doing, CJ?
Hi.
Hi.
Are you doing this right now?
Yeah, this is a green room.
What's
that mean? Well, we get like 2 hours. The recording goes for 2 hours. So if you listen to the show, not live, if you listen to, like, tomorrow if you want to listen to the show will go for however long we keep talking. But if you're listening live, it only goes for an hour.
Oh, okay.
So at the end of the hour, the show is over if you're listening to it live. But tomorrow, if you want to listen to the show, it keeps going. So we call this the green room after the show. We keep, you know, we talk about other stuff. You know, we keep going with other subjects and we talk on. Like, I played a piece of music that went, you know, 4 minutes, but I started it 2 minutes before the show ended.
Oh, so it's kind of like the ending.
Right, and then we have this little extra time where we do. See, we never realized that this was happening for, like, 2 months.
Yeah.
We thought when the show was over, and Bill and I would just sit here and chat about whatever we wanted to, and then people started, you know, we found out later that people could keep listening to that, and so we just didn't do it. And now it's a much more informal process. So what's coming? You didn't bring down homework. I didn't see any homework.
No, I finished my homework.
Okay.
I think that's the soonest I've ever finished my homework this year.
Did you bring down something to show me?
Yeah, I found it in my room. Do you want it?
No, we just had the oil change. Thank you. Probably,
sure.
But we would have paid a lot of money.
Do you want that?
No, I don't care. Do you want? I started getting Business Week.
Really?
Still. Yeah, I don't know why. I get it until July of next year.
Really?
It started coming.
Somebody give you a gift subscription or something, you think? Or?
Nobody in their right mind would give me
Business Week. Hey, it's Christmas. Come on, it could happen.
No, this has been going on since, like, the summer.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I don't know. It just started, like, I guess it started in July. I mean, you know, July to July.
Are you sure it wasn't Mom?
Yeah, I'm certain it wasn't Mom. She would have asked me if I, because, I mean, there's a whole lot of other magazines that I would have taken other than Business Week. You can look at it.
I want to use the pictures.
You can go through the pictures and look at the pictures.
Okay.
So, all right. So, William.
Yes.
I didn't, you know, I was trying to think about what we were missing last week. We wanted to talk about more economics. We didn't get into those economics.
No, we didn't.
You know, depending on how things go over the next, you know, week, I mean, you know, there might be something that we can talk about as far as economics is concerned. But, you know, at this particular point, the numbers are going in such opposite directions.
I know. I mean, it's crazy.
So, I'm not suggesting at this point that the economy is getting a whole lot worse. It's certainly not getting a whole lot better. But, you know, there are too many different places where it's not going in the right direction. Wisconsin anyways. I think we're still on the right track that things are going to get worse, not better. But it is kind of weird what's going on at this point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I don't know.
In fact, I read a news article. I don't remember where I got it from, but I read it anyway. And the headline of it didn't really correspond with the rest of the article, but it said Christmas shopping was 20% down. But then later on in the bottom, in the latter part of the article, it suggested that those numbers were on track to fulfill this group's prophecy of a 1% decline.
But see, they were talking about retail sales being up 3% in November.
Well, that could be true if you talk about it, if you talk about including energy prices.
Well,
if you take
energy out,
it was down.
Well, their argument was that exactly how could you have 3% retail sales increase when 49 states are reporting lower, substantially lower sales tax receipts.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
And what was the other thing that I just read? It was, Social Security, Medicare receipts for the first time ever were higher than income tax receipts.
Well, I was talking with someone yesterday. That right now we are putting out more in Social Security than the system is taking in.
Yes.
For the first time that's happened this year.
Yes.
Six times it's happened this year.
Yep.
So it looks like we'll have the first full year where that's going to occur this fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Those systems are going down. I mean, they are. Yeah. Medicare has always run into deficit. Well, not always, but most of its life it has. Social Security is now running into deficit.
Can you even... I'm trying to put my head around this particular concept. I do it, and at the same token, I just don't understand it. The government is spending millions and millions of dollars a minute.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no apparent thought going on to even remotely suggest that needs to slow down.
Yeah.
My friend Tom, who deals with the Treasury receipts, at the end of November shows that, we're already $300 billion in the hole for this fiscal year. We're 2 months into it, and we're already $300 in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And, how much spending can you do at that pace? You have to say at some point, one of two things have to happen. Well, the economy is going to come roaring back and it won't, things will change, or, at some point we have to stop spending.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see either one of those things happening at this point.
No.
Not
me either.
The spending, if anything, is continuing to accelerate.
Yes.
And it just doesn't make any sense to me. And, of course, we were also talking about, you and I talked about, my prescription for fixing things.
Yeah.
The next president actually do so.
Yep.
And I was talking to somebody else about it yesterday, and he said, you're vicious.
Yeah. Gee, they're just discovering that, huh? Okay.
I've been saying that all along. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why
I mean, the truth in advertising,
Why do people not believe me?
I don't know.
Why do people not believe me?
I don't know.
I'm the meanest bitch you've ever met in your life. you that.
They don't believe you for the same reason that people did believe Obama.
They just can't believe that that's possible.
Exactly.
I said it, there are millions of people alive today because I'm not in charge.
Yep, absolutely.
Millions.
I know. I'm there with you, kid. It's like, yep, you betcha. Oh, man.
Anyways, the idea was, we were talking about how much of the federal government would you shut down in that 1 year?
Oh, Lord. Oh,
and I was thinking, on the executive branch, it's about 80%. I think we can shut down about 80%.
Yep.
That's a pretty nice number. It's about 300,000
people. That's a good number.
About 300,000 people.
Yeah, okay.
Which would add a couple tenths of, to the unemployment figure.
Exactly.
He noted that most of those people would be in the D.C. metro area.
Gosh, break my heart.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. So, anyways, the more I think about it, the more I'm going to continue to process that particular idea. I'd just like to see it, implemented by somebody in 2012.
Oh, that'd be... Yeah. Incidentally, the EPA was created by Congress, I believe.
I believe.
And the precursor was, I think it was Nixon that signed that into law. And my question is this. As an executive, I wonder how far you can pull them back. If it's a creature of Congress, I think it takes congressional action.
What does it say? EPA. I've got it here somewhere. I saw it yesterday when we were talking about it. Okay. I don't know where it is. Okay, these would be the things that would stay operational. Department of Justice, which includes the FBI and the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and the Supreme Court. Department of Defense, which includes, obviously, the branches of the military, CIA, NSA, Homeland Security, and Department of Veterans Affairs. But Department of Veterans Affairs would be pulled under the DOD. It would not be a standalone.
As it ought to be, yes.
Okay, correct. The White House has Treasury, State, Interior, Transportation, and the Education Department.
Well, okay, get rid of education.
Education, I got rid of everything except for things like the Education Department actually has the Smithsonian, the National Archives, the Federal Library, the Copyright Office. Those would remain under their Department of Transportation. Has the FAA, and FEMA, believe it or not, is under transportation. Interior has the National Park Service, the Forest Service, and there it is, EPA under there, but it is a creature of Congress. I yanked it out of Congress and put it back under the White House control under the Interior. Department of State, we'd have our embassies, but that'd be about it. Treasury, we can get rid of, IRS, and then things that are still there, the National Science Foundation, which includes CDC, Institute of Standards and Technology, which includes a whole lot of, National Highway Safety Administration type stuff, OSHA, Those are things that can be significantly scaled back for the year.
Mm-hmm.
The national laboratories. Most of those would probably stay up, but I'm always been a pretty big proponent of privatizing most of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are a couple that would stay out. Sandia, Oak Ridge,
mm-hmm.
and
JPL.
No, not JPL.
Oh, no, Lawrence Livermore.
Lawrence Livermore.
Yeah.
Because those three are all nukes.
Yep.
And
a lot of research goes on there.
Yeah. You know, Commerce, you know, is FTC, the Postal Service, believe it or not, and the Patent Office. So not too much. The FTC can be scaled back, you know, but the other two would probably be, you know, would stay for the most part. You know, Congress doesn't have a whole lot left as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. As it should be.
As it should be. Most everything else gets yanked back into, you know, Department of Justice would still fall under, I think, it's under the executive branch, as is the military. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, the idea is that about 80% of the discretionary budget would be just simply wiped out.
Works for me.
You know,
an interesting thing that I've been seeing a lot of lately, I've been seeing a lot of comments about people that are saying if health care passes, they are willing to go to jail for not paying taxes. And I thought, man, if that becomes a real groundswell, they don't have enough cells.
Well, the problem is, you know, IRS doesn't put you in jail very often.
That's true.
But IRS can make your life really awful and miserable.
Well.
Because the IRS can pop 20% of your gross.
I'm under the impression that at least the folks that I have seen talking about it are saying, nope, I'm not doing it, and I'll work under the table. I will do all of those things, and I won't have a bank account. And I'm just, if they want me, they can come find me.
Yeah, I'm of the same general mindset.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if that becomes a groundswell, and I don't think it is yet, but if it does, boy, feds have got big problems, bigger than they think.
This is the general idea, this concept that, you know, when the government makes laws that, you know, practically beg people to ignore them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it creates an entire mindset of disrespect for the rule of law.
Exactly.
And
that has implications for a much broader portion of the society than I think folks that haven't thought about it realize.
Yeah, you know, you get a population that says, you know, screw the law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, then, you know, there's no... I got into a big fight over somebody with it.
Did you really? Wow.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, he said what he did was when he comes to a stoplight in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
he just goes through it.
Hmm.
You know, because he's not going to sit there when there's no traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what kind of stupidity is that? You know, the law doesn't apply to you?
Yeah, exactly.
And he goes, well, I can use my common sense that says when there's no other traffic, there's no reason for me to just sit there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but that's the law. He goes, well, don't you follow the law and everything? And I'm like, Well, you know, I do 70 miles an hour in a 55 zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like most of the traffic in the left-hand lane.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't want to do 70, then I go into the middle lane and do 63.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't want to do that, I go into the right lane and do 50 or 55.
Right, exactly.
You know, kind of depends where I am, what I'm doing, where I'm going, what I'm, you know, what needs to be happening.
And when I have to be there. Yeah, exactly.
Now, he tried to equate 70 miles an hour in a 55 zone with going through the stop sign. And I'm like, or the stoplight. And I'm like, you know, I don't think the two are the same. You know, you're putting other people at risk by going through that stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me doing 70 miles an hour along with all the rest of the traffic is not increasing, you know, the
risk
for all the other cars out there.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, are we both, you know, applying our own sensibility to a law? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the question is, you know, am I being more, because it's my decision versus his decision,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's creating the greater risk? I believe he is in that situation.
Yeah, and of course his argument is, wait a second, I slowed down, I looked both ways, there was no traffic coming, so I went through it.
Right.
There was no increased risk because there wasn't anybody else around. I mean, that's his argument.
Right.
My argument is, yeah, you can do that. Maybe you didn't increase risk for anybody else, including yourself or the people that were passengers in your car. But then apply that to other areas.
Well, then
so
he did.
If everybody makes their own decision about which particular laws are going to follow, all of a sudden you have anarchy.
Well, you know, he brought up actually the anti-sodomy laws.
Hmm.
You know, as a lesbian, do I think that, you know, sodomy laws should be free to be violated? And, of course, I'm sitting like going, okay, well, it's not something I have to be in concerned about, but I understand the fact that you want to use my particular, you know, lifestyle
mm-hmm.
as a way
mm-hmm.
to, you know, approach that. And
yeah.
I said, you know, here is a law that's interfering with the private practices, you know, of consenting adults in the
mm-hmm.
privacy of their home. I said, I consider that to be an unwarranted infringement, you know, into my personal liberties. You know, so I would say, screw that law. So,
well,
you know,
but put it in another milieu. Put it in the milieu of public restroom sodomy. Consenting adults.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Did you start a pot of potpourri for Mom?
No.
Okay. Would you start a pot of potpourri for Mom?
No. Where?
Get the smallest pot that we have upstairs. Get some potpourri out of my room.
Potpourri?
Fill the pot about 2/3 with water. Put a handful of potpourri in there and put it on the stove on low. Mom's got a bloody nose.
Oh.
Oops.
It's too dry. It's too dry in here. We need to put moisture into the air.
Okay, do you want to throw away
the lasagna? Tracy, do you need to go take care of stuff?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to throw away the lasagna?
Yeah.
What about
the salad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. You can get that.
Yeah, go ahead and throw that. All the leftovers can be thrown.
You need to buy Steve's present so it doesn't come after you before she leaves.
Okay. Have you got the information for me? Is that what the link you gave me? The link you gave me? Okay, I'll take care of that tomorrow then. Where were we? Oh, you want sodomy in a bathroom.
Public bathroom. Consenting adults, but nevertheless, public bathroom.
Well, why does it have to be sodomy? I mean, you know, intercourse between...
Well, I'm because that was the example you started with, so I was just
but,
using...
You know, it doesn't have to be there. You know, talk about any sexual behavior between consenting adults in a public place.
Okay. That's fine. You know. I Tracy, I'm not singling out homosexual acts. That was just the example that was brought up. So I was just building on that.
I'm torn about those type of situations. Legislating stupidity is never a reasonable point of view. And if people are going to do stupid stuff, that's like, arresting somebody for public intoxication. Someone walking down the street drunk, should they be arrested? My general opinion is no. Unless you've got a situation where somebody is so blazingly drunk that they're likely to harm themselves, in which case, I don't think you should be arresting them. You should probably be doing something to, mitigate the possibility of them hurting themselves.
So you think that Giuliani's theory of the broken window enforcement isn't a good idea?
Well, no, because his issue is, because his particular point of view was, it was a property rights issue. It wasn't just a broken window. It was, infringement on the property rights of, of people of New York. If you have somebody sitting on a grate trying to stay warm, again, it's kind of the idea of legislating morality or legislating stupidity. Maybe it's my libertarian type streak that suggests that, the right idea is to let stupid people kill themselves.
Well, I don't disagree with that. It is a subject that reasonable people can disagree on, I like things neat and orderly. On the other hand, I don't like to see people get hassled unless they got it coming. But the more laws we have that don't make sense, the greater the propensity to disregard all laws.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. So, if you're going to pass a law, you need to enforce it. Because to not enforce it means you're only breeding contempt for the law.
Right, for the rule of law.
Which does not mean that, oh gosh, they just ought to willy-nilly enforce every law out there. Because there's some really stupid ones out there.
Right. I would agree with the idea that if there's a law in the book, you enforce it viciously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, of course, there are a bazillion laws on the books that, as far as I'm concerned, violate the spirit of the Constitution,
yep.
If not the letter of it.
Exactly.
And
yep.
From that point of view, the first thing you need to do is you need to get rid of the 100,000 laws that are, that violate the spirit of the Constitution. Then whatever is left gets enforced.
Yeah.
Viciously. I don't have any problem with that.
There's a website, and I forget where it is now. I didn't bookmark it. I should have, but it's a compendium of all of the outmoded, stupid, foolish laws that are out there. One of them I remember was someplace back in the Midwest. A person carrying a lantern had to precede any self-propelled vehicle. and I think that was a city law. Yeah, it wasn't for the whole state, but it was like, yeah, right, okay, sure. I don't know that you got that many lanterns now.
Right, some stupid law like, the walking of goats, on Sunday afternoons is prohibited.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I want to take my goat out for a walk on a Sunday afternoon.
Exactly.
Of course, I did own a goat at one point, so I could have.
Actually, I did too. When we lived out on the ranch. Periwinkle.
I don't remember what our goat name was. You know,
in fact, we probably still have a picture of it around here someplace.
But he did bump me every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, they'll do that. We used to have sheep. We raised sheep for a while.
Yeah.
Man, those rams would get to you. Boy,
no,
they
we had a goat. We had a goat because the goat was a present.
Ah.
We knew a couple that raised goats and sold goat milk for their living. They were way off the grid. Way off the grid. You know, no electricity, no phones, no running water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had a herd of about 150 goats. And,
wow.
You know, they had 120 acres, and the goats were in the acreage, and, you know, they did goat's milk.
Yeah, there you go. I detest the stuff myself, but there are folks who like it.
Yeah, I wasn't too keen on it, that's a certain.
Exactly.
then when we got married, we were given a goat for a wedding present.
Oh, boy. should have had a goat roast or something. I mean, that would have been appropriate. A wedding feast? Don't you slaughter the goats for a wedding feast and stuff?
Yeah, that wasn't what the intention was.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Kiddo,
right.
I need to go.
Yeah, we'll go.
All righty.
All right, have a good week.
You too. And we will
talk
to you later.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.